I've been thinking a lot about the Bible lately. I study early scriptures as a hobby. I like Gil Zevovich's comment, his chant about justice and righteousness. Hey, those two things always bother me in the Bible. What the hell are they? Tzedek and Mishpat, justice and righteousness. What kind of justice, what kind of righteousness, what do they mean? Well, it's right through the Bible like a spine. It's the core of the Bible, and it's the covenant, it's the bargain, the deal between God and man. I'll be your God. I'm the God of righteousness and justice, and I'll be your God if you're righteous and just. If you're not righteous and just, I'm not interested in you. I'm not your God. Don't claim me. This is the deal. So what is righteousness and justice? It's not about just personal justice. It's systemic justice, and it's about the poor, it's about the aliens among you, it's about the orphans and the widows. That's how it's configured in the ancient world. That's how the disadvantaged, the poor are talked about. And that's who the Bible is for. It's for those people. If you take care of those people, I'll be your God. If you don't, fuck you. You know what I mean? You're on your own. In the pagan world. And these people in the ancient world had no access to the land, really. They were vagrants. They didn't have claim to the land. And in all ancient cultures and all ancient religions, the land and the people are one. The land is sacred. The health of the land and the health of the people are one. If the land is sick, the people are sick, and vice versa. It's not separated. And so I want you to... The Bible is dealing with those people and their lack of access to the land. And this is what the Bible is saying. Listen to these few things. Leviticus, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity. The land is mine. You are tenants and aliens. That's all you are. Whatever possession you have is a pretense. Whatever claim you have is a pretense. We can't actually own the land. Listen to Isaiah. Isaiah says, shame on you who add house to house and join field to field until not an acre remains and you are left to dwell alone in the land. Latifundia, agribusiness, the destroying of family farms and the creation of huge farms is an inherent evil. And it goes more than Isaiah, it goes right through the Bible. Deuteronomy says, when you reap and harvest your field and forget a swath, don't go back for it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow in order that the Lord may bless you. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip them afterwards. What is left shall be for the alien, the orphan, the widow, the refugees from Syria, the homeless, and the destitute. When you gather your grapes from your vineyards, don't glean afterwards. What is left is for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. That's who the Bible is about. They have a right to the earth's resources, not just to alms, not just to charity. They have a right to those resources because those resources are given to all. They're no one's in particulars. That's what the Bible is saying. It's talking about this systemic justice. And the Sabbath is a day of rest. Man, slaves, oxen, everything gets a day of rest, returns to a state of stasis and equity and equality so that you look around at the people, you don't look at them through their job description. You look at them as who they really are. The land gets a rest. The land gets a rest every 7 years. The land gets a rest. When you enter a land and plant any kind of a tree for food, you shall treat it as bearing forbidden fruit. Where have you heard that expression before, forbidden fruit? Well, in the Garden of Eden, in the Genesis story, and that has a particular reference too. For 3 years it shall be forbidden, and you may not be eaten. In the fourth year, the fruit shall be offered as a holy gift to the Lord, and this releases it for use. And in the fifth year, you shall eat the fruit, and thus the yield it gives you may be increased. It's about husbandry and land usage. The Bible is all about land usage. The land is sacred. Now, of course, Roman commercialization, they did exactly, they came in, they cleared the land, they raised taxes, forced families off their fields, created huge farms to feed Sepphoris and Tiberius and Caesarea, all the new Roman towns that were being built up, and threw the whole thing in. The shit hit the fan. You had thousands of homeless people, destitute people off their land, people starting to turn on each other, a terrible mess. That was the people that the Jesus mission was to. That was who it was for. How do these people live in this situation? And so Jesus posits the empire of God versus the empire of Rome. The empire of Rome is coercive, it's violent, it's exclusive. Jesus poses the empire of God. This is why he was so subversive. Of course, the empire of God is voluntary, it's inclusive, and it's built on free choice and love. It's exactly the opposite. And it's the only way, of course, all great people have understood that, Gandhi, Jesus, the rest of them, Buddha. It's personal choice of each individual person that can make real change. It cannot be forced. It cannot be coerced. It has to come from grassroots, from us. And this is where they put their energy. So what do we have today? After the Romans, we have the colonizers, Christian colonizers, who take the gold from people, who take their lives, take them as slaves. What they give them back is their God. We gave them Christianity, we took their gold. Good deal, huh? Well, we lost our God. We sold our God then. Our God is the dollar now. And the great statue of the snorting bull outside the stock exchange is just the golden calf of the new pagans. It has no power. That's what it is. We are a godless nation, claiming God. God wants nothing to do with us. We are a godless nation. Listen to what Rebecca Mark, CEO of Azurex, said. Rebecca Mark said that she would not rest until every drop in the water was owned, privatized. Every drop. Imagine her swinging, twisting in the air when rain falls for free. Well, they sued Australian farmers for collecting their water on their own land because that water belonged to Azurex. Coke, the CEO of Coke, said that the enemy of Coke is not Pepsi. It's every child in India who drinks water free from a stream or coconut free from a coconut. They're the enemy of Pepsi. They're the enemy of Coke. These people are crazy. They have lost it. They have lost their sanity. They're crazy people. They don't own anything. But that is the plan. A guy told me, I did play in Ottawa, and this older actor said to me, he said, it was a very political place, so it was all political discussion. He said, I was at a my brother-in-law had a good friend who was running in Texas for elections, and he was getting close, and it looked like he might be the governor or the senator, whatever it was. And he said a guy from one of the Rockefellers came from New York to talk to him, to vet him for the party. And the guy was, among other things, the guy said, "We think there are 6 billion people on the planet. We think there should be 3 billion." But he said, "Well, what about the other 3 billion?" He says, "Do you really care what happens to those people?" That was his remark. These people want what Hitler and, you know, I.G. Farben and the Bushes and Henry Ford wanted. They want to control all the resources of the earth, owned by, you know, the 400 families who run the earth or whatever it is. And they want the labor, slave labor, and now slaves are paid for their labor. They're paid slave wages, and they can live in their maquiladoras or their little slums at home. They don't even need to take care of the slaves anymore. Hitler just had it wrong. Now you have it with a smiling face. But that is the plan. And that is underneath, that's the rot that's underneath it all that is causing all the problem, is a complete distortion of our relationship with the land. I'm done? Okay? Thank you.